You're listening to the Lifted Life Podcast. We created the show to help you live a lifted life.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. Episode 8, I believe. Is that right?
Episode 8.
Awesome. And today we're talking about the power of a better question. Now, maybe you know what I'm talking about when I say the power of a better question, and maybe you don't. Whether you know about it, and this is just a reminder, or you've never heard of it, either way, you're in for a treat because this is one of my favorite coaching tools that I had ever learned from my experience of tools and mindset tricks. So before we get started, Tim, do you have any idea what I'm talking about when I say the power of a better question?
Well, I'm pretty sure you're going to lead into that. I can't tap this pencil. Sorry.
No, you can't.
You lead into that. You can ask whatever question you want. And it's up to us to make up the correct questions to ask.
Yeah, basically something like that. So essentially our brain is a series of questions and answers. And most people don't have much awareness of this. They're just going through their day, thinking their thoughts, not understanding that it's actually a series of questions and answers. And so once you understand this, you can start to frame better, more powerful questions. So if you're not aware of it, then you're going to sink into the natural kind of mechanism of the brain is kind of this blame machine, kind of pointing back towards what's causing a problem.
Hang on. Can you clarify? A thought isn't necessarily a question, correct? It could or couldn't be.
Some thoughts are answers and some thoughts are questions.
Good. Okay.
Okay. So I love this example because it can apply to me. And so prior to learning this trick, I think subconsciously I would say things like, why am I so sloppy? Okay. This would be a question in the back of my mind. Now I wasn't consciously like, oh, let me list out the reason I'm sloppy. But it was going, right? But here's the fascinating thing about that question. There's only heavy, disempowered answers. Well, because my mom was sloppy. Sorry, mom. Not really. Well, because no one ever taught me how to not be sloppy. Well, because I'm broken and I don't know how to be tidy, right? These are all like very disempowered answers because it's the problem of the question. So if instead I want to shift the sloppiness factor, I don't want to ask this disempowered question like, why am I so sloppy? And you could even frame it to, why am I so cranky? Well, because I don't do this or I don't do that.
So is it true that a disempowered question gets a disempowered answer?
Only 100% of the time.
Okay.
So therein lies the power of a better question. So instead of saying, why am I so sloppy, which leads to blame, regret, frustration, I shift the question to, how can I be more organized? Or, and I love this one, this actually was from my coaching days when I was going through my coach training, it was this question of, how can I honor my space? So my space is what's messy. So if I say, how can I honor my space? My brain has answers to that question. Well, I could, you know, throw some things away. Well, I could get a system in place. I could see how there's empowering answers to that question.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to work through is that where does the question start from? Like, do we ask ourselves the question? Is the question? I mean, I understand that we're meaning-making machines,
right?
And that's what we do is we try to subscribe meanings to things and
right piles and piles of things all over the house.
Well, we always create our own reality, but we're trying to make our reality make sense, and we're trying to find meaning in things,
right?
So that first question, was that always there? Did we put it there? Or can we change it at any time?
I think it's two things. It's a response to external stimuli. So we see piles of things and we say, why am I so sloppy? And then there's also deep-rooted belief systems, like it's hard to keep things tidy or we're a naturally messy family. You see, these beliefs that we have are typically things that we've believed since childhood. Now, if you're an empowered adult who's understanding the power of the mind and how we have meaning-making machines called a brain, and you start to say, oh, I can actually shift and change anything based on my perspective, based on my projection, based on the story I tell. So my thoughts are, we have these beliefs based on childhood programming, as well as what we take that programming to mean from the stimuli around us. So there's piles of things around my house. I'm going to make it mean I'm a slob. And then I'm going to say things like, why am I so sloppy? And then I'm going to go back to this loop. Well, you know, that's what I learned or that's what I know. And you can apply this to any question. Let's say that, why am I so cranky all the time?
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
You're the only one in the room. So if you have that question, why am I so cranky all the time? If you don't mind, for the lovely listeners at home, work, or on their walk or commute, what are some answers that come to your mind? Like when you think that disempowered question, which is a thought, right? It's a thought that's a question. And then you're going to have a thought that's an answer. So what are some of the answers? Why am I so cranky?
Well,
answer it.
No, I was trying to give an answer.
Oh, sorry. You cut I thought you were going to be like, let me go this way.
No, that's why I'm so cranky. You always cut me off.
I thought you were going to be like, let me just go this way.
No,
for
you
a
never
minute.
Let me talk. That's why
Shut
I'm cranky.
Up.
Okay. No, I think the first thought is I can't help it. Like there's no way to get out of it. Like I'm cranky because of things I can't control.
This is naturally, I guess I'm just naturally a discontented crankster.
Yeah, or pick a reason to blame. You know, it's not my fault that I had a bad day at work. It's not my fault nobody listens to me. It's not my fault that
I'm wired this way.
I'm wired, yeah, or that nobody respects me. Like these are all things that may or may not be true, but it doesn't really matter. It's how I'm perceiving them, and I'm choosing to believe that I can't get out of the situation. I can't fix the situation.
But it's all because you're asking that question is what I'm teaching today. I'm right. Sharing that one question of why am I so cranky is the problem, not any of those answers. It's the power of a better question.
It's so very ironic because was something that happened with my mentor. He was speaking about how one of his personal clients said, they wrote him and said, why am I this way? Mm-hmm. And he wrote back, because you're asking me, why am I this way? You're asking that question. Right. Why am I this way? It's because you're choosing to be this way.
Right. So the power of a better question says, can we ask a better question here? Yeah. Not why am I this way or why am I so cranky? So let's take the why am I so cranky.
Man, I got to keep coming back to that.
Well, I already told you, like when it comes to this, and I don't really think I'm a slob, but I love tidiness and yet I struggle with it. So then that question of why is my house so messy just leads to, well, because my kids throw crap everywhere. Well, because I haven't taught them not to do that. Well, because I don't prioritize. Because
my husband's always cleaning and I just keep messing it up.
We'll come back to that. So anyway, that question right there is the disempowered question leading to all the disempowered answers. So instead, the shift of that question is how can I honor my space, which is the most amazing, euphoric question I've ever heard. And then I can list out all these amazing ways. It feels good to answer that question. So on the contrary, why am I so cranky is one of those disempowered questions that leads to disempowered answers. So what would be a more, you know, powerful question to ask rather than why am I so cranky?
Why am I so happy?
Why am I so darn happy? Okay, maybe.
Maybe, yes.
What else you got?
How can I start my day with a positive outlook?
Sure. I think those are both great ways, really. Yeah. Why am I so happy? Actually, as silly as it sounds, I think you could be like, well, I'm happy because this, I'm happy for that.
Yeah, I think it would work, but it's kind of cheesy.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
It's kind of hard to buy into your own bullshit, I guess.
Right. So instead, if you're like, I was thinking something like, how would I, this is just for people that are brainstorming. Maybe they're at home like, yeah, I am so cranky. And I have been asking, why am I so cranky? Instead, if they want to say something like, what do I need to do to feel the way I want to feel today? Or what would I need to do to feel more content today? And so then you're asking the question that's putting answers rather than blame.
But what I think is, we've discussed this off air about last week was pretty rough for me emotionally. I just had a rough week. In a funk for sure. And I did feel like I couldn't get out of it. I do think you just need a little bit of momentum going in the right direction to get out of it. And there's lots of tools. There's lots of things you can do. I think asking a better question is one tool to get that momentum shift in the right direction.
Right.
In the right way.
Right. It's not a cure-all. Just like we always say with our probiotics, it's not a magic pill.
No.
It's one piece of the puzzle. But if you have these pieces of the puzzle, like just imagine if you're just walking around with one piece, not knowing there's all these other pieces, these other strategies to feel better.
You have mentally, physically, and emotionally. You have all those three areas of shift physically can be the
probiotic. Mentally, physically, emotionally, I would even say spiritually would kind of be an extra.
And you could argue maybe some of those blend together.
Right.
But
that's what I was trying to.
But of those four pillars, I mean, the probiotic would be the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
And physical, other things like moving your body on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. We haven't done an episode on that yet, but it's coming.
It's coming.
Essentially, this idea that we're sitting all day is leading to so many aches and pains, so much disease. Sitting is the new smoking. And then guess what? Standing is the second new sitting smoking, because we don't want to actually stand all day either.
Standing is a secondhand smoking.
Second, yeah. Booyah. But basically what we're trying to say is you got to move, not just stand, not just sit. So a standing desk will not solve this problem entirely, but we are moving creatures designed to move. So the physical components of gut health and movement, and then you're right, there's each area has its own, kind of tiers that you can go out into. But why are we talking about this? What were we saying? You were in a funk.
Yes.
There's so many different ways to approach it. And a question goes into the area of mental health, I think.
But what I was saying is the way I got out of it was momentum. I mm-hmm. used momentum to get out of it. I started working my way out of the funk.
One specific tool that really like the momentum?
Honestly, I can't remember. I just remember just slowly, just like I just said, I got to get one step to the right direction, just one inch.
Come on, surely you know what did you do? What was the one step?
That's the $100 program we're going to sell next week. I'm just kidding. I can't remember, but I think...
If you think of it, will you tell us?
If I think of it, I will tell you. But as you were describing this, I was thinking that was a tool I could have used was think a better question. Like there's tons of tools. There's tons of things. Probably duality, if I had to guess. Duality is one of my favorites, is that it's easy to think about what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just invert that and say, well, I want the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
So probably something like that. Like, I don't want to be cranky. I don't want to always be a pain in the ass. I don't want to always be bitching. And then
what do I want?
The opposite of that. That's the easiest.
To feel good, right?
Yeah.
To have fun and be funny and be to add value. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are all like kind of switching back to this idea that our brain is a series of questions and answers. And if at any point you're stuck in a loop, it's probably because you're asking a disempowered question. Like, why am I like this? Mm. Why can't I create the income I want? Why am I such a cruddy, yelling mom? Why am I a cranky mom who yells? Let's say that's a question. Like, well, my mom yelled. Sorry, mom. It always goes back to mom. She knows I love her. So she's an easy target that it's not really true. So it's easy for me to say that.
But I mean, it's a good point that you said a lot of us feel like we're byproducts of our parents. Like,
well, and so much of it we are, because there's this programming. And if you don't recognize the belief system you have, then you're going to just think the way your parents thought. That's just how we're raised. And so, more empowered adults are the people who are taking control of their life and saying, if I don't want to feel this way, then it's up to me to change it. Because I know my emotions are based on my thoughts, and my thoughts are based on my beliefs. And
yeah, and I think we're kind of getting off subject. But
no.
You saying that reminded me of being back for the holidays. And I don't think my dad's listening, but it doesn't really matter. But just watching him, realizing that, man, I work like, I act like he does. And
sometimes that's good. And sometimes
it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's irrelevant. To me, it's just the awareness of, like what you were saying is once you're aware of that you do that, good or bad, you can continue or you can change.
Well, and I think that's the powerful thing about even these questions. Oh, I didn't realize I keep asking myself, why am I such a cruddy mom who yells? Like, sweetie, you're beating yourself up.
Yeah.
And you're going to get heavy answers. So going back to what some of those answers might be, because my kids are bad and then I lose my patience because that's all I knew growing up. Because I don't have enough time for me. See, all of these are just kind of like the whiny blame game. And I'm not saying they aren't true. I'm just saying they aren't useful. So how do you shift that question? What's the power of a better question here? How can I be a fun, loving mom? Or how can I be a mom who demands respect and commands the love? Or, I don't know, something that's stupid, but something along the lines of, what do you want to create? More trust between your children and the combination of respect and fun, loving, time together. Like, create the question based on what you want. How can I create this?
And the truth is, like, we can't tell anybody the question. It has to be Right. I mean, we can give examples of what works for us.
Right. But, or, and we're planting seeds of this is how you ask the question in a more positive way. Yes, please.
But everyone will have their own question and their own
perspective
on.
Right. But it's all about understanding how the power of a better question will shift the thoughts that come into your meaning-making machine.
Yes.
So a lot of times, let's go back to this idea of messes, because as someone who works from home and has kids and dogs, and I know I really do have to make sure I don't get too wrapped up in what I make it mean when there's too much clutter or when there's stuff. You know, I know that I love a more tidy and spacious house, and yet sometimes things get, you know, fall by the wayside. And what I've learned is the meaning I attach to it is the energy drain, not the stuff itself. Like if I start to make it mean that I'm a failure or that I have failed something, like that is what's heavy, not just the heavy boxes in front of me. So it's all about kind of, I even have this kind of, what is it, tool, where I take some imaginary scissors and I literally just cut through the air and I'm cutting the cords of emotion between the stuff and myself, because there's a story there. Well, it shouldn't be there. Well, I need to get to that. Well, I haven't gotten to that. And when I can cut that story, it allows me to actually move through like cleaning it up or move on to what I actually need to be doing, because it's the emotional baggage of the story that's actually slowing me down.
That's where I was going to go with it. I think that what you're saying is true. Maybe you call it the law of attraction, maybe you call it something else, but when you let go of that feeling and stop, you know, making meaning that I'm a bad person because these things are a mess, doesn't mean that you give up on it and you don't clean up the mess. You just stop giving energy towards the feeling of that. And in my experience, usually the messes get cleaned up and things happen the way you need them to happen. It's just not worth, given that the meaning and feeling so bad about I'm a messy person.
Right. I agree. Yeah. It's like, I think that it's almost like when you think about when you're feeling anxious or depressed, and then you put on this backpack of bricks that says, I shouldn't be anxious or depressed. I shouldn't have anxiety or I shouldn't have depression. I thought I healed this and I thought I quote unquote fixed this.
Yep.
And when you have those bricks on your back of guilt, shame, frustration, anger, resentment that you have the other feeling, you're now like compounding these negative emotions and you're not allowing yourself just to feel it, which is.
That's where I was going to go with my finally leaving my funk was that was the final feeling was that I'm not a bad person because I'm in a funk. And I can be angry that I'm in a funk, but I can't be angry at myself. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to get me out of the funk.
Right.
Yes, I can be angry at myself. I can do whatever I want. But
is it useful?
But it is not useful, and it will not get me out of the funk. Be angry at the situation, and being angry at the results is fine, mm-hmm. but it does no good to be angry at yourself.
So along that lines, that's another zinger from your mentor, Jesse Elders, the is it useful? Prior to learning that, I actually always use is it true? And he basically was like, who cares if it's true? True only means, and this isn't his words, this is a little bit of Abraham Hicks words, but true only means you've given your attention to it and you've created enough evidence for it based on your projecting, percepting brain. Mm-hmm. So is it true is actually not a useful question. So is it useful is a lot more useful. So if you're like, why am I such a cranky mom? You can even stop yourself, have some awareness, say, is that a useful question? No, I want a more empowered question. So how can I be a fun, loving mom who, you know, has children who listen and trust her or whatever is important to you? So I think that that's kind of a powerful duo of, you know, how can I ask a better question? Is my current question useful? But so much of this does require an awareness. Some people might be sitting there saying, I don't know what questions I'm asking. But at any point that you're feeling an emotion, your emotions are like a compass pointing you back towards your thinking. So if you're suddenly resentful, frustrated, you know, experiencing any quote unquote negative emotion, you can pause and truly try to think, okay, what was I thinking? What was the belief that I was settled into? What was the story I was telling? Because I totally believed it. And I know that based on how I'm feeling right now.
And I think that's true. I think that,
of course, you know, it's true, Tim. That's why we have the Lifted Life podcast.
Hang on, let me rephrase that. I think that's useful what you just said. Mm-hmm. I think that you're right. It's momentum, and I think a lot of people will say, "Yeah, but how do I get from there to here to there? How, that seems so far away." And I think awareness is the first point. The fact that you're asking the question or you're thinking about the question you're asking you've took a huge step towards that. Not that I'm a professional in this, but
so awareness is such the big key. I think
it's the first.
I think we need to talk a little more about awareness, but before we do, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor this week.
Who is it?
Well, this episode is brought to you by Lifted by Fittest Mood Boost. It is our probiotic for more sensitive individuals, maybe those with autoimmune sensitivities, those with histamine sensitivities, or those looking for a D-lactate-free probiotic. Now, both of our probiotics are lactose-free, but D-lactate is a whole nother critter, and essentially some people need to be sure their probiotic strains and species do not have any of that. So we created Bifidus because some of our customers could not take the mood-boosting probiotic, and we wanted to have something that would work for everyone. So today's podcast episode is brought to you by Bifidus, and you might actually call it Bifidus.
I'll say, if you're an proper English-speaking person, you may call it Bifidus. But
we name these things, and we can call it what we want. So
we're from America.
Stop it. Thank you for listening to this wee bit of a sponsor. Okay, well, we're trying new things here, people. We don't know exactly how to do this. We are winging it. We hope more than anything our example of try it, you're going to suck at first, and you'll get better at it is modeled to you every week by the Lifted Life podcast. Okay, back to awareness.
Which could be its own episode, but...
Well, it probably will be. And actually, let's have some awareness about this podcast. We're on episode 8. Do you think, Tim Hall, that we will be better for episode 100 at being podcasters or episode 8?
I sure hope we're better. Yeah, I think we'll be better. Yeah.
Right. So we have this awareness that we're not as good now as we'd like to be. Mm-hmm. But we also have this awareness there's only one way to get to 100. It's by doing 8, 9, 10, and onward all the way.
Technically, we get to 99.
All the way through there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So any hoozles, it's important to have this awareness of self to say, yeah, I can see that I'm not as good as I'd like to be. I mean, if you think about anybody starting something new, a willingness to suck at first is so imperative. But if you don't have an awareness to say, oh, look, I'm being hard on myself because I don't know what I'm doing, because I'm uncomfortable when I don't know what I'm doing.
No, you're right. You're right about that. But I think or at least for me, I'll speak for myself. The awareness is that we know we have a message that we want to get out. We know we want to help people. That's the awareness. Yeah, there's also awareness of it's uncomfortable and worried about being judged, which I'm trying to move past. Like, to me, that's not useful to think about what people think about me personally.
Right. I judge myself, and I think...
You shouldn't.
I judge myself. I'm more worried about my self-judgment than others. Mm. So I'm like a born entrepreneur. Tim is more of what we call a trained. I'm working on training him anyway. He's an excellent, he always has been an amazing employee, a very hard worker. And I always like to give respect to his employee capabilities because it is truly what got our family the jump start in life that we needed. But yeah, I've always been had this entrepreneurial way of thinking. And so I think that when you're a born entrepreneur, you care less what people think. Like, it just naturally, when you're born this way, you're just like, yeah, I care more about doing meaningful work and something that matters to me than anyone else's approval. Like, you know, I had a job once. It was the worst day of my life. And I've had a lot of, you know, mini jobs where I've gotten paid, and I call them gigs. As long as it was a gig, I was fine. But if I was like, this is sucking my soul and I'm trading my life for this and someday I'm going to be in a grave and this is what I'm doing with my life, it's very extreme. But anyway, why am I talking about this?
I just let you do your thing, babe.
Okay, so anyway, I'm an entrepreneur. I have that awareness. And so I have a tendency more often to judge myself, but know that I'm only saying, am I better than I was yesterday? And so that awareness that I'm not really, that I need to be sure I'm not judging myself too harshly is my version of, okay, how can I be more gentle with myself? Because I know I'm not measuring myself against other people because I don't care as much. Like, by nature, I just don't care as much what other people are thinking or saying. So that's my sense of awareness, is how can I be more gentle with myself, knowing that, yes, I'm capable of so much, but am I putting myself out there today? Whereas someone else who may be like you have more of a tendency to, you know, have this kind of, I don't know how to say it nicely. So how about you say it about yourself?
About worrying about what people think
about me. Yeah, and just like the validation, and like, you're used to having a boss and someone saying, good job, here's your paycheck. And yeah, I'm just not.
Well, for me, it was required to be validated for people to accept me because that's where our income came from. So if my boss hated me or didn't think I did a good job, then there's a likelihood I could get fired or not get paid.
Right. And so it's almost like...
But I'm sure it goes deeper than that. I'm sure it goes back to like needing acceptance as a child or whatever. I mean, I'm not paying for a psychology lesson here, but...
Are we? But anyway, the awareness of, okay, how can we loop this back to a power, like a more powerful question?
Yeah, I need to put a bow on this because we're getting sidetracked here.
Okay, so for me, a more powerful question is, you know, like I said, how can I be more gentle with myself and still be actionable today? You know, that's something that, because sometimes I push myself too hard or I just don't see the value of whatever. For someone else that is used to external validation, it's like, how can I grant myself the validation I know I deserve? Asking a question that based on your own current situation and something that you want to improve on, it's asking yourself that type of question.
I think it's worth noting, you can ask any question you want and you can change your questions. Like,
right. I think, and you will.
For me, I'm waiting for you to look at me and say, what's your question? I'm like, oh no. Shit, I don't know what my question's going to be. But then...
Within the Life Coach School, she did have a primary question. That was a tool. Like, figure out your primary question.
Yeah, and but I mean...
We don't have to have it on the spot, but think
No, I don't want people to think that they have to think of the question that's the question for the rest of their life.
No, but within each area...
And they spend 5 years trying to think of what the perfect question is. Like,
no, but within
ridiculous.
Each area you want to improve. Let's say you hate going to your job. What could be a new primary question? Like, how can I show up today as my best self, regardless of anyone I encounter?
Or how can I show them that I'm the best employee?
Not show them. Mm-mm.
Ooh,
gotcha. How can I show myself that I'm the best employee?
See, that's a better question.
Keep me around. a powerful question question based on where you are in an area you want to improve. So that's just one. And then you can say, okay, I'm going to move over to my personal life with my friendships. How can I ask a better question there? So to me, I think that's the powerful tool, is using the question to utilize within an area that you want to experience improvement or growth.
All right.
Is that a bow?
That's a beautiful bow, babe.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, we'd love for you to click on that 5-star review. Tap, 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 tap. Was that 5? Tap, 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 tap.
I don't know.
And write a little bit of a review. That helps us so much. And actually, we only have a few, so it's showing us none, which is really sad. So if you have a moment and you could do that, we would so appreciate it.
Have a great day, everybody.